Are you a part of the bully code?
I don't personally follow the bully code, no.
Me neither. If you ask a few people, though, they would say I have.
Yeah, it's a bad code, to be honest.
Mm. I don't know. I don't mind the servant thing.
that's some Star Wars logic, that is. Yeah. That's Han Solo and Chewbacca. Have you seen Solo?
No, I have not seen Solo.
Oh, boy. That's one of those movies.
Chewbacca become his slave. Kind of. Solo saved his life.
I can't remember whether it's in the old canon or the new canon. Because honestly, I can't remember a single goddamn thing about Solo.
Yeah, it's not.
It's very forgettable. It's one of those movies that you watch and then you come back and you don't remember anything from it.
No, of course you don't.
Apart from spoilers, if you haven't seen Solo, Darth Maul.
No, he's one hologram.
Yeah, he's in there for like 10 seconds, but I remember it.
And he's one hologram, and that's it. I don't want to see a person for one hologram. He's great. He's an amazing character. But if you actually want to see him, watch Clone Wars. Or even watch him in Rebels.
Oh, he's so good in Rebels. Gotta love some Star Wars.
Yeah, he's the best part of Rebels as well.
Easy, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, hit that intro.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast.
There's 365 days in a gap year, and you need
to talking about 365 days in a gap year. Guess how many days we're in?
We're up to 350 something.
Something or other. Yeah.
Making a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Not many days to go.
Not many days to go in our gap year, and...
And are we going to end the podcast on day 365?
No, it'll be 369. That's where memes.
Nice. No, we've got too much Phineas and Ferb to do.
There is a lot of Phineas and Ferb to do.
Does this mean we're going to have to revise the theme song, though, because I'm too lazy
To do it. We've revised it like 3 times, but it needs a 4th time.
Yeah, it needs an actual update to the lyrics, doesn't it?
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I vote we keep the lyrics because we did start it in our gap year.
Yeah, that's true. True.
Yeah. Which is coming to an end. And so we'll do a little 1 year reunion thing.
Yeah, that's going to be good fun.
It's going to be fun.
So stay tuned for that. Another episode of season 5 of The Implications of Phineas.
Yes. Will we have a special guest? No.
Nah.
We will eventually. Hopefully. When I get around to it.
Yeah, when we get around to actually putting the effort into contact some animators. Anyway, long-winded intro aside. Welcome back to The Implications of Phineas and Ferb, where we discuss Star Wars, apparently.
The Implications of Phineas and Ferb. That's what we do.
As we all know, I am Joe and you are Lachlan.
God, I'd rather not. I'm Lachlan and no, I'm Joe. And
see,
you
I
are
did
Lachlan.
It on purpose that time. You did not.
Oh, it's disgusting. Well, I've got season 2, episode 18, The Bully Code and Finding Mary MacGuffin.
Finding Mary MacGuffin. Now, this is a couple of episodes where the first one is pretty good, but it gets so overshadowed by the second one.
The second one is just so outstanding.
It's one of those, like, recommend Phineas and Ferb by using this episode.
If you're going to watch it, skip the first one. It's all right. You can tell us what happens. Give us a quick rundown.
A bit of a quick rundown. So, this is a very important to the plot. The slushy dog menu hasn't changed since 1929.
I wrote that down as well. A 1929 menu. Do you know how long things have lasted since 1929? Nothing. Nothing's still around since then.
That's not true. There was the threat of a pandemic in the 20s and there's a threat of a pandemic now. So some things never change.
Yeah, but it's not the same flu.
Can't argue with that. Yeah, it's not the Spanish
flu. Not a single thing is still alive from 1929. Not even a person. Like the Queen, perhaps.
No, she's not alive. There's 100-year-old people. There's people alive who were born in the 20s.
Yeah, there is. But
that's terrifying. That's just weird to me. The 20s seems so long ago.
What's the saddest thing is they won't be for a little bit longer.
That's so dark. Anyway, except for the Queen. The Queen lives
through the 20s. A menu since 1929. That doesn't make any sense. The wiener dog and all sorts of things wouldn't have been invented in 1929.
When was the hot dog invented? Let's give it a cheeky gook, shall we?
Also, this like sauce and stuff. Like, surely we've come a long way in 100 years. Surely the menu would have changed.
Nope, it was invented. It's believed the very first hot dog, once called Doshan sausages, was sold by a German immigrant.
Yep.
Will I cut that? Will I not? Who knows? It's believed the very first hot dog, once called Doshan sausages, was sold by a German immigrant out of a food cart in New York in the 1860s.
Wow.
Around 1870, a German immigrant by the name Charles Feltman opened the first hot dog stand on Coney Island. He sold over 3,600 Frankfurters in a bun that year.
Nice.
Mm, that's so sweet. It would be possible. There's but no I don't think slushies were invented.
In well, and well I, actually after
I've reached my limit of Googling for things. Like I don't care that much.
But if Phineas and Ferb says it, then yeah. Obviously it was.
All right. Phineas and Ferb's a factual show.
So Baljeet gets his life. Baljeet saves Buford's life. And then Buford.
He's Buford's slave.
Because
no, Buford's his slave.
Yeah, because of bully code, obviously.
Mm. Obviously.
And like the show says, it's that 70s sitcom cliche where one of them becomes the other one's servant because they get their life saved. And I thought that was quite a good joke.
We get a great bang in line from Buford where he says, "I must clear my mind of all things except Baljeet." That was easy.
Hasn't got much going on up there.
Very good line. Meanwhile, what are Phineas and Ferb up to? They don't really do much this episode.
No.
But they do briefly mention that they're considering all these options. They can't work out any good ones. The other two are pretty standard.
Yeah,
Phineas and Ferb inventions, nothing amazing. But they are considering creating a jelly bean monetary system for emerging nations.
Yeah, so they're going to help third world countries out by like, giving them a currency.
Bit boring for today. I want something a bit more exciting.
And if you ask me, I think this is a bit too many times America's tried to help the nation out by handing
with that whole, you know, whatever the hell just happened in America.
Oh,
God. It's been an eventful week.
Yeah.
Did you know that Zimbabwe threatened to sanction American products if America didn't have fair and democratic elections? Which is quite funny.
We've all been trying to get them to have fair democratic elections. They haven't done it yet.
Mm. Shout out to our one listener in Zimbabwe. So, I appreciate you.
You're doing
well. You're pretty great. If you want to write in, the implications of phineasandverb@gmail.com. Say hi. meanwhile, Perry goes down to Monogram.
Yep.
Monogram goes, "Sorry to disturb you on Canada Day, Perry."
Yep.
Oh, it might as well be
Canada Day.
Has no impact on the plot, but very cool.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, I'm just going to Google when Canada Day is.
While you do that, the only thing I've mentioned about the Doof and Perry subplot, because I really want to get onto the next episode so I can just enjoy it, is that Doof plans retirement well.
So yes,
Doof shows his first Donator off, which is, what was the first Donator do?
No, it's not. Is the garage sale episode?
No.
No, it's the one before that.
It's the ice cream thing or something comes around. Oh, it's the Retirinator.
Yes, the Retirinator. Obviously. It's like not the Retirinator. That's different.
No, he has the Retirinator and then he has the Retirement-inator. And I want this Retirement-inator because it's got a big cat, a bunch of Sudoku,
armchair.
And it's a huge...
Screw waiting till retirement. The world could end at any time. I'm retiring now.
I just want to get on this chair. And he's ready. He's
just
like,
this
is going to get me through my senior years. And I'm like, I'm glad you're planning for it.
Going to get me through my junior years.
Don't put money aside. Build yourself a chair that you can live
very
in.
Nice. Because you know you can depend on your wife's paychecks.
So yeah, ex-wife's.
Yeah, ex-wife's paychecks. Canada Day, by the way, is the 1st of July. So that lines up with the fact that this is an American summer.
But like financial year or is that June?
No. It's just the day they celebrate independence. It's in the holiday.
Is 1st of July or is it 1st of June the start of financial year?
I don't know. Where would I know that?
That'd be really interesting. You're like, woo, happy financial year, woo. Oh, and Canada Day.
Hold on, I'm Googling that as well. Start of financial year 2020. Yeah, it's 1st of July to the 30th of June.
Yeah.
No, other way. Yeah, 1st of July to 30th of June is a financial year.
Fair enough. Well, that's weird. Why would you?
At least in Australia.
So what? Canada got independence and someone's like, all right, time to start your tax.
Well, yeah. I mean, the day that you become a country is the day you start taxing people. That makes sense to me.
No, the financial year is when you start and end because the reason why there's a financial year and we just don't use the normal year is because stuff is happening in January and December and people are like, I don't have the time. So like, we'll just move it 6 months.
Oh, it's like a my mum with her birthday situation.
Yeah, except everyone had that idea before your mum and they made it a year thing with everything else. And so that's why you do your tax, June, July.
Well, June. Frank, I'd like to say that I didn't know that, but I think a more accurate assessment would be I don't really care. But anyway.
Who needs to claim tax when you're unemployed?
Who cares? We'll be fine. Meanwhile, Perry takes a helicopter chair through Doof's wall.
Yep.
And Doof delivers the bag of nine. Line, you've heard of the internet? well, this is just a net, but you're stuck.
He doesn't say, but you're in it. He just says, you're stuck in this net.
It's and great then delivery.
My favorite line at the end is that it's like, I know what we're going to do today. They do the famous line. They say that. But the interesting thing is, just before it, they were like, well, Buford needs to save your life. Well, Baljeet, I know what we're going to do today. And I'm like, yep, put your best friend's life in danger.
Very nice. And the only other two notes I've got are that there's an orchestral version of the main theme.
Yes, I noticed that when they were doing the trap went off with Candace in it.
Yep, and the phones in this episode are old. The iPhone was out when this show came out. Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
They do have cameras, though, which is good.
When did the iPhone come out? 29th of June, 2007.
What the fuck?
It was out for 2 years before this show came out. There's no excuse.
That's
Dan
crazy.
And Jeff, what are you doing?
Why are you using flip phones?
I mean, I do like it. It adds kind of this timeless charm because it probably takes place in 2009. And kids would have still had flip phones in 2009. That makes sense.
Yeah. I guess they were expensive or whatever. I'm not sure. I wasn't really around when the first... I was, but like I never...
I had a flip phone.
I didn't have Wi-Fi till like 2 years ago.
That still amuses me. But yeah, I've got no real notes for the actual bulk of this episode. It's a pretty uneventful one.
It's good. Like,
it's a good
one. Phineas and Ferb. It's always good. There's some great jokes in
it. Go watch
it.
Enjoy the plot, by all means.
But it's no Finding Mary MacGuffin.
It is no second adventure. This is a absolute bang in time.
All right, so it starts off pretty normal. Like, they're having a garage sale, and the boys notice some... Hang on. Ugh. Boys notice some old films, and they're like, Dad, can we watch this? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're just my old detective films, a.k.a. noir... black and white detective films with narration and stuff like that. Like, good films, fun films. Anyway, after watching it, the boys decide to just make the entire show a Phineas and Ferb noir detective show. And it's
so
hilarious. Because the rest of the world tries to justify why these boys are black and white in a color world. And it's so good.
And there's so many... Okay, so real briefly, the plot is that at the garage sale, Candace's doll accidentally gets sold.
Oh, yep.
And it gets sold to Doofenshmirtz because he remembered that Vanessa really wanted one, so he helps her
get
one.
And he has been looking for it since the day she's asked for it.
How sweet. Doof is a great dad.
He is actually an outstanding dad.
He puts a lot of effort in.
He's an evil scientist, but an amazing father. I wish I had a dad like that.
You could have ended the sentence... at the word dad, but okay.
I wish I had a dad. Like that. No, I want a good one.
Yeah, I agree. Have a good one. So yeah, Vanessa gets a hold of it and the boys, Candace, tasks the boys with trapping the doll down.
Because they're all dressed in their thing and she blasts in colourful and the rest of them are, and he starts
to the entire room is black and white.
And Ferb's just vibing there with his sax.
We just got some sax. Like, and then meanwhile, Phineas is there like, interesting. She bursts into the room, full of colour and energy, desperate to have her doll mystery solved thing. He's narrating in a low voice.
Who are you talking to? Why are you talking like that?
The entire episode, everyone's
She's
like...
She's observant. Maybe too observant.
The entire episode, he's just narrating. And I love that aesthetic.
It's so
It
good.
Makes me want to like make a, just some like short film or music video or something in that aesthetic. Just
where everyone's somehow black and white. Like the two main characters are black and white while everyone's still colour.
Yeah. And just for... Okay, great joke.
Okay, the best
they go
joke.
To law, they, the best joke in the whole thing. Or actually, maybe not even the best joke in the whole thing. There's some great jokes in this. They go to Lawrence. They go to their dad.
And he's still playing the sax.
He's still playing the sax.
Been playing it from the beginning.
Ferb's just following them around going...
Bit of ambience in there.
Playing, you know, some beautiful sax. And Lawrence goes, Phineas, Ferb, what are you doing? Is that my old black and white saxophone?
Skip over it. The dad used to play sax and it used to be black. It, like, it has
he
to be
just
black
had
and
a
white.
Black and white saxophone.
Oh.
That's hilarious.
That's so good.
The saxophone isn't even painted gray. It's literally black and white.
Like the rest of them, yeah.
And how did he get a hold of it?
How do you
Where did
make,
it come from?
Why would you make a black and white saxophone?
Anyway. It's a fantastic joke, and I just love that they're following around with the saxophone. Just
he's just vibing. Mm. What is that noise?
That is the washing machine.
I'll My go. God, I can hear it from here.
I'll go turn it off. Hold on.
Da 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 da. It sounds like it's going.
I've cancelled it, so
it's just. Is your mum going to be annoyed? The washing's not going to be done now.
I put the washing on.
I'm still going to stand by that sentence. Is your mum not going to be annoyed that the washing hasn't been done?
No, because I'm going to turn it back on once we're finished.
Yet. Okay, good.
Yeah, because I'm a good boy.
Yes.
I do the washing.
Sure, sure.
This single detective joke that's running the entire way through the thing is
so good,
so funny, and it never gets old.
We kept rewatching it, just the bits where they were going around black and white. They bring a black and white set with them. So when they can investigate people, it's there, and they paint the person usually in the black and white. Oh, so good.
They're just interrogating people in black and white, in a black and white set with the light doing the whole, what do you know, when holding the light up to them.
Lean on him, Fur.
It's just so funny.
It's fantastic. I haven't actually watched a black and white detective film.
You haven't?
I've watched a lot of spoofs of them, like a lot of people ripping it off, but I wasn't around for it. Maybe I should just spend one night watching them.
You really should. A black and white detective film is quite good.
Mm.
And it's just a good
time. I like the narration idea. Just one guy standing there and narrates his whole life.
Of course he thinks the narration is a good idea. Typical of a podcast host.
That's so true. All right. One line that I think is underrated, but it's so good because of what it means for the universe. Doof just walks in, like knocks on the house of his ex-wife. First of all, we get Doofenshmirtz's ex-wife's house.
Oh, yeah, we get the theme song, Doofenshmirtz's wife's house on a hill somewhere.
Yeah, something like that. And he opens the door. Vanessa comes out. She's like, Dad, what are you doing here? It's not your weekend. And I'm like, this is why this show goes from good to exceptional.
Mm.
Not only do they know that this is a split family, they're not afraid of saying it.
Mm.
And it's fine. And it's just normal a casual life. Line. Yeah, which is so true.
Even when they've got all these jokes about them being a split family, like, for example, Doof going, it doesn't take a degree bought from the internet with your ex-wife's money to know that, which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious, but it's...
Is Doof not actually a doctor? Put a pin in it. Doesn't need... Even though it makes jokes like that, it's still okay with actually talking about the fact that it's a broken family and showing that it's a functional...
Yeah, you can have a happy life and also be divorced.
Yeah.
And because that is what happens in real life. Like Zach, who we'll see maybe next episode, he's got that. And he's split weekends. That's usually how people do it.
And he's fine. He's a great bloke. He's living his life, yeah.
Apart from the extreme alcoholism. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, the boys.
Oh, a dark joke. That is a joke, by the way. Zach's fine. I've just got written here, Doof wants a Switch. Same.
You mean like a Nintendo Switch or just... Okay, good. I want a Switch as well. I've been waiting 4 years for them to make a pro version.
Yep.
Because they bring out the Switch and it's good, but then it still suffers from performance issues.
And also like... Breath of the Wild is a legendary game.
Apart from the Nintendo made games on it,
there's nothing there. Which to be fair is how Nintendo's always rolled.
And to be fair, they've made they've made the best game ever. Then they've made the
Breath
second best.
Breath of the
best.
Wild is probably the only three-star Michelin game that is stolen from Doug Dog on YouTube, which is where if you don't know how to game, it's worth learning to game just to play Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, and it's also recommend like the game that has been given title best game ever is Ocarina of Time.
And it took that title from itself. Because it used to be Ocarina of Time.
It is Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Ocarina of Time is the best game ever. Just full stop.
All right.
And then second can be Breath of the Wild. But anyway, Nintendo's made these games, Mario Odyssey as well, that are fantastic for the Switch. Just no one else has made good games for it.
Yeah, exactly. Every port that's on the Switch is like...
Yeah. And so like PS4, you've got good games like God of War and stuff like that. But they've also got access to games that aren't just strictly made by Sony.
Yeah. Plus the exclusives are really good. I really want to play the new Spider-Man game. Like not the new Spider-Man game, the Miles Morales one.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it's like?
What?
The same as the one you just played.
Dude, I can't stress this enough. I am sick of games where they build like a nigh on perfect main game, and then they're like, we're going to do a sequel and we're going to revamp everything and we're going to rebuild all the systems and we're going to redo the engine. I'm like, no.
Yeah, but
just make that. Do the story, same engine, same gameplay. Give me a bazillion years more story. If it was a game that's all about the gameplay, if it's a Mario game, I expect the gameplay to be upped every single time and all that stuff. Spider-Man PS4 had really, really good gameplay, and yet I was doing the missions because of the story. I would be fine if it was the same game with a different story.
Well, you're happy there because it literally is.
And that's great. But and the they pumped that out in like a year for the PS5.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I wanted.
Because it's less than half the size, but the same price. Yeah, see, I'm coughing at that bullshit as well.
You get the original game as well.
Do you?
Yeah. The PS5 game.
Miles Morales.
Comes with the entire original base game and
the DLC.
Essentially a DLC, which is
the Miles
a whole
Morales.
Other plot.
Yeah.
With the Miles Morales thing.
Let's
fair.
Get back on to an amazing episode.
Yeah. So.
Doof is such a good dad. We have to point that out.
Yep. That's literally one of my notes.
He's
Doof
an evil scientist.
Dad.
He's a good dad, though. Doesn't matter what sort of evil things he does. He's always got a warm heart there. So good.
They go to the Lab Coat Emporium looking for Doof.
Yep.
Got
to investigate some people, including Dan Pelvermeyer again.
Get a little bit of a Dan cameo. We love to see
featuring his own voice.
Yep, his actual voice rather than his Doofenshmirtz voice.
Yep.
And I just love the implication that there's a Lab Coat Emporium. I love the implication that there's multiple German people going to get lab
but
coats every week.
We've actually seen this Lab Coat Emporium before.
From the episode where everyone's copying Doof's fashion.
Yeah, where he makes everyone copy his fashion. And there's also a bunch of clones of him and stuff.
That was like season one, episode five or something.
It's
like that.
Insane
was a while ago.
How long ago it was.
Yeah.
Almost a year.
Well, speaking of almost a year, what a year anniversary coming up. We love to see it.
All right, I want to get on to Phineas and Ferb, Master of Disguises.
Oh, yeah, no, first I just want to briefly say a fantastic Doof line. Doof, right before the cutaway, says, life was much simpler when I was a lawn gnome.
Yep. So they dress up. They're like, all right, we're going to have to change. We're going to update our detective. And then they go through all these
detectives.
Black
and white detectives isn't working. We need to be better.
Upon a bit
detective.
Of research, because this is different to us, it's all American detectives, which... Yeah, not
can
what
I just say. There's
no, well, not what
the
I'm
the tier
for.
List of detective shows goes British detective shows, Australian Pro. Detective shows, shows, every other detective show,
Dr. Blaine, Father Brown,
US detective shows.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
you're
US,
at the bottom of the tier list. Bro.
It's not that you can't do detectiving, but it's you can't do detectiving.
Like, yeah.
Watch a good Miss Marple, watch a good Agatha Christie, and you'll be like, holy shit, this was clever. How did they think of that? And you'd be like, damn right, they have more brain cells.
Your mysteries have to cater to the stupidest person in your audience. And I'm not saying that...
Your average IQ is lower. Ouch, that's so mean.
That is so mean. I'm sorry. I love your American listeners. You're like 65% of our listener base.
And,
I love you so much.
And now we just isolate
you are the best.
Like,
you are... Well, I mean, if they listen to this show, they're obviously higher.
They're obviously...
Every single one of you.
See, I was going to say they're obviously the lower IQ because so are we, but...
No, the only smart people listen to this show.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, because, I mean, look at the
only smart
listeners.
People make it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the trick. Only people with in their very limited amount of spare time sit down and talk about a children's cartoon for a year
straight. Mum raised me on British murder mysteries.
Mm.
Watch that instead of CSI. Most of the references are from CSI, though the last one is
it's
so good.
Because it's a not just a CSI reference, but a meme reference.
And it's also a joke in their show. It's like, aren't you a little young to be, what was it?
It says, aren't you a little young? Okay, we've got two of the same line jokes, but different responses.
And still the best ones in nearly all of Phineas and Ferb.
Two of the greatest lines of Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb show up at Vanessa's mum's house.
You'll be Phineas and I'll be the mum.
Yeah. She goes...
Well, Doofenshmirtz's. Yeah.
And Doofenshmirtz's ex-wife goes...
Aren't you a little young to be detectives?
And Phineas goes, if it's all the same to you, ma'am, we'll be the ones asking the questions.
It's good.
Hilarious. And then...
And he gets like angry eyes on her. He looks her straight. Be like, we'll be asking the questions.
And then the next one, they go through the years of CSI.
Yep.
And they go into all the charity places to look for the doll.
Then they get up to CSI Miami.
They get up to CSI Miami, and one of them goes...
Aren't you a little young to... No, what?
To know all these detective shows.
Oh, yeah. Aren't you a little young to know all these detective shows?
Yes. Yes, we are.
No, puts yes. Puts the sunnies. Yes, we... And then the sunnies slowly on. Puts the glasses up, lifts up.
And then
yeah!
That was a really good, yeah.
Thank you.
It's like that meme, and I did not know it was from CSI until now. Yeah. I just thought it was, I assumed it was this random meme.
And they're just out on a speedboat after the city skyline of Miami, I assume. And then they're just on the speedboat, firm on the back, Phineas on the front with the cool glasses.
And it's just and the, just, yeah! It's fucking
hilarious. It's just out of nowhere, but it's hilarious.
I love this show so much.
It is so good.
Anyway, the only other implication I have is what happens immediately afterwards, which is that the theme song, the that cuts to a rock. It continues as a rock version of Doofens Most Evil Incorporated. You think it's going to be an entire song.
Yeah, and then
and it just
like,
cuts to...
Doofens Most Evil Incorporated.
And that's it. It just ends. Hilarious.
I was so ready for a whole intro of Phineas and Ferb's new detective CSI, but oh well. Now, CSI Danville.
Dan and Jeff, if you're listening.
Do a spin-off.
Phineas and Ferb. Now, right, we have preached a lot about a live-action Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah.
Phineas and Ferb live-action detective series.
Oof.
Who's playing Phineas? Who's playing Ferb?
Firstly, get the guy who does Miami to be Phineas.
That would be funny.
That old guy.
That would be funny. Can I suggest Benedict Cumberbatch as Ferb? Just no, playing Sherlock, but
Benedict,
he's mute.
Benedict Cumberbatch as Phineas. And then Martin Freeman as Ferb.
But they're both, instead of doing their British Sherlock accents and talking all this
and
stuff.
And let's redo season 4.
Yep. Sounds great. Hard cut. Right. So the first 3 seasons of Sherlock are exactly the same.
Yep.
No changes. Season 4, hard cut. The British accents are gone. It now takes place in Danville. Sherlock has red hair. Watson has green hair. They're 11 years old. No one acknowledges the fact that Benedict Cumberbatch is 6'4" and yet he's supposed to be 11.
And their angry sister comes to them and says, "I've lost my doll. I need you to find it." And he's like, "We'll do it."
We'll do it. Let me just go into my mind palace. And then some saxophone stuff.
He like looks at Doof and he's
the
like,
mind palace is just a close up of his forehead, and projected onto his forehead is just scenes from the cartoon.
But they actually, there is an episode later on where they develop a way to remember everything. They straight up make mind palaces. Again, Sherlock taking from Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Sherlock just overtly ripped off Phineas and Ferb. I'm just saying, who invented the Mind Palace? Was it Sherlock Holmes? I don't think so. So Arthur Conan Doyle was sitting down and he was like, "I'm going to write the first great detective novel." And he was like, "Where can I get it?" I know, from 2009 TV series.
I'll go
series.
Down into the vault.
He went down into the vault and he was like, "By Scott, what are these?" And he's like, "They're like scripts for movies." And he's like, "What the fuck is a movie?"
They're like, "Don't worry about that. You don't have the time.
Take your pick.
Look at these two boys. Watch this." He's like, "How is this thing moving?
How is it a moving show? These are people, but they're not people."
Why does he have a triangle head? Don't worry about it. Why does everyone else have a normal shaped head?
You're thinking too much. Stop.
Did you hear that line? That was hilarious.
So we've got now that we've solved all of the plot problems with Sherlock.
Yeah, i.e. removing season 4.
And just making
and his sister.
Yep, just making it Phineas and Ferb. I think a lot of things could benefit from just being Phineas
instead
and Ferb.
Of it getting bad, you just swap it out with the Phineas and Ferb.
We have Star Wars Episode 7, we have Star Wars Episode 8, and then we have the Star Wars Phineas and Ferb special. That's the new trilogy.
Funny, because it would actually make more sense somehow in the timeline, despite the Star Wars one being canon for Episode 4.
Whatever, you know, it's not like you can really do worse than Episode 9.
No.
If you liked episode 9, more power to you. I know a lot of people who enjoyed episode 9.
Zach likes it as well. Like, it looks good. It's nice. It's actually a really cool movie. Like, I'm not against it. Buy a movie. It's a good movie.
It's at the point, though, where it's like...
But it would, the others, it's horrible.
Yeah, all three of those movies, I actually think.
Anyway, back onto this podcast and our actual tropes.
Just hadn't heard of the episode. Just needed a bit of that. Because we don't have the yeah meme, so we may as well.
I got this one. This one's good.
I'm noticing a distinct lack of rock guitars in that song.
That's true.
If only we had a version that had rock and roll. Sorry, I was headbanging. That's a good song.
It's very short.
I'm just about done for implications about the actual show.
I'm done.
I have got some other stuff to bring up, though.
All right.
We got some letters.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Gmail, see what's cooking. If you would like to write into the show, hit us up at the implications of Phineas. Implications of Phineas and Ferb at gmail.com.
It's quite easy.
Yes, we got some more.
And really long. Can you imagine signing in? I'm so glad no one's asked me for my email and I've forgotten somehow my private one. And I've just given them my... Be like, this is the only email I have access to right now. You ready? Implications of Phineas and Ferb. Is there a dot? No. Is there a space? No.
Just implications of Phineas and Ferb. Whole long email. We got another... firstly, something that we... brought up a couple episodes ago and we forgot to discuss.
Oh, yep.
We got a letter from Rhea, friend of the show.
Yeah.
And she wrote, PSS, you should rewatch the Song of Cows in the Mall, the song about the cows in the mall, and see the part where they stop to eat at a food court and pay very close attention to the menu sign that shows up when they leave the food court.
Guess what?
What?
We actually did hard work. And by we, I mean you. And we went back and we went to Disney Plus and we looked at it.
Now, the hard work is slightly impacted by the fact that I did this almost a fortnight ago and it's been buried in my camera roll. So I cannot find the photo.
But that is okay. We remember what it says.
It says that the food court is serving
beef special.
They're having a beef special.
So you know what's happening?
The cows are cannibals.
Yeah, not only that, that's a real issue because mad cow disease.
Yeah.
That's how you get mad cow disease. When a cow eats when it cannibals, you get a disease which is really bad.
So...
because they bite each other.
That is exactly the sort of implication this show is about.
That's the sort of stuff we like.
Gutted that we didn't notice it.
I don't know how... We're the official, non-official... official implications of things we should know about Phineas and Ferb in the background that no one else notices. And we didn't do it.
Yeah. Noticing shit in the background that implies really weird stuff in Phineas and
crazy
Ferb.
Thing.
That's our whole thing.
And
we fucked it up. We tried. Thank you so much, Rhea, for writing in and catching our mistakes. She then wrote in this week as well. And she said, hello, how are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good to know. Anyways, how dare you?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like...
Oh,
I'm like, oh,
shit.
My God. She's already called us out for not...
She's called us out
this.
Once.
This
is
happening again.
Is this a second time?
She says, in Cheer Up, Candace, you said that Monogram was crying with an eagle and a bear about Perry being a traitor.
Yeah.
I'm like 90% sure that's a bulldog.
Sorry.
We tried. We also are very lazy.
I also just like bears. Bears are my favorite.
Yep. But you are probably correct, and I'm not going to fact check it because
bulldog,
I'm lazy.
Though?
I don't know. Why
bears
bear?
Are more Canadian, though. But no, because bears are part of America. Like, we don't have bears. We've got everything else that will kill you, except for, like, a koala and drop bears. But, like, they don't care.
Yeah, it's really funny when we talk about, like, the animals that will kill us. Because, you know, we're the Australian Outback podcast. Because in America, it's like a bear is going to rip and tear and destroy you, right?
Oh, they'll kill you.
They'll kill you. Do you know what happens if you get attacked by a furry animal in Australia?
You'll never know.
You get chlamydia.
I just like to think you die too quickly to know that you've got chlamydia. Mm. The only reason we know you get chlamydia is the bodies.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, people go, koalas are so fuzzy and cute. I'm like, I would rather
until you
box
hug
a kangaroo than I would hold a wild koala.
Because if you hug a koala and then someone's like, why do you have chlamydia? And you're like, it's not
okay,
what you think.
It's not what you think.
Maybe a sexually it's transmitted a disease.
I
just touched a koala.
We then also got a PS in this letter from Rhea. Mm. And she said, PS, I spent 1 minute thinking of a backhand compliment and then I realized anyone who listens to your podcast can hear it, so why bother to write it down?
Wow.
That's not a crackout. That's an insult.
That's
cuts deep.
That is straight out.
But like, fantastic. More of that, please.
It was good.
It was very good.
You had me the first half. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, all right.
And then she also
sent... take that on the chin.
Yep. And then she also sent in an actual backhanded compliment, which is when you were talking about having Jeff on the show, I thought that you were joking, but you were serious.
That very is cool. A good backhanded. We did. We got Jeff. Yep. Go listen to it.
Hell yeah.
And yes.
Yeah, go
send
listen.
In more backhanded compliments.
Yeah, those are really fun. I like them.
Oh, and you said you're the co-creator of a show that you're doing a dumb show about. I thought you were joking.
Yeah, but you weren't. Fantastic. We also, speaking of letters that people have written in, we don't have any hot chocolates today.
I did think about that.
I did think about it as well. It's getting too hot for hot chocolates.
Yeah, when we say getting too hot.
It was well and truly too hot when we asked for the hot chocolate.
You boil hot water, pour it into the cup, and then you realize it's the same temperature as the outside. And you're like, it's not worth drinking this.
Yep. So send us in ice chocolate recipes. Send smoothie recipes. Send any cold drink recipe.
Beer. If there's a beer recipe you want us to try. By that, I mean, a beer you want us to taste.
A beer brand. Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Lachlan will give it a shot for his first time, and I'll happily drink it probably, as long as it's not watermelon beer from Grifters. Please don't send that in, Ruth. I'm not going to drink it again.
It's a very specific grievance, and I love it.
She loves Serpent's Kiss. Get out of here.
Yes, and then one last thing, a nice happy note to end the podcast on.
Yep.
We got another letter from a man by the name of Carlos.
Carlos.
Carlos said, "Invocations of Phineas and Ferb, hope you're doing well."
Thank you.
This is a automated message of some sorts, I'm guessing, but it's very, very cool. He says, "I have some cool information that might interest you. Your podcast, Implications of Phineas and Ferb,
has had some good..." I remember Carlos, our mate Carlos.
Our mate Carlos.
He works down at the Carlos IGA, just down in South. I love Carlos IGA. I've never gone there because it's so sketch.
But I
love saying Carlos IGA.
That's Carlos. The way.
IGA is like a supermarket for people who don't know.
Basically, he gets the data from podcaststatus.com and just sends out like automated emails about the rankings of podcasts that have their emails in their descriptions. And he said to us, "I thought it might interest you that you are ranking 32 in TV reviews for Spain." So all of these are our rankings in the TV review category.
Yeah,
32
yep.
in Spain,
mm-hmm.
22 in Canada. That's I'm actually quite proud of that one.
That one's good.
Yeah, that's Thank quite you. High. Thank you, Canadians. We love Canadians. Canada
is amazing.
Yeah, Canada.
Canada is incredible.
I know. If there's one country I love, it's Canada.
And the country below you, Monica. Yeah, bit weird.
Bit weird, but you know, whatever.
Canada. Canada. What did I say? Canada,
yeah.
Yeah, Canada.
Can you imagine how many like Americans you'd defend if instead of calling Canada the country above the US, you called the US the country below Canada?
It is, though.
It is. I know.
In more than one regard.
Yeah, in lots of regards. But like, imagine how you would be offended. Like, that's quite funny to think about. Mm. And then, get into the good ones. What, 21 in the Philippines?
They call us the land down under. That can't be a compliment.
Yeah.
Down under what?
The rest of the
Thanks
world.
Thanks very much, mate. Go back to
I'll have you know that the tip of South America is further down than us. Thank you very much.
You tell them.
Exactly.
Canadia.
Thanks, Canadia. We love you.
Thank you, Canadia.
Then we are the two good ones. Position 5 in TV reviews for Finland.
Finland's a
great country.
It's a very sexy country.
I have always loved
they're
Finland.
They're so well. Like that.
Everything's so set up. Well set up. The healthcare. Mwah.
Education.
Mwah. Quality of life. Mwah. Mwah. Good minimum wage. Mwah.
Like, it's a fantastic country.
You got it all going on. Plus, your flag is pretty cool.
Plus, you've got a good podcast in your TV reviews. Good taste of podcast. Scale. What are we in Finland?
5.
That's a clap for us and Finland.
Thank you, Finland. We appreciate
this is like
you. If you
the
live
official
in Finland,
hate on America but love every other well-organized country there is.
And then, of course, this is the best part.
The best country.
Number 3 for TV reviews in Malaysia.
Once Malaysia, again, Malaysia is shining through with taste.
Coming through with your great taste and just...
Those other things that you contributed
to. I'm sure there's
to.
Other things. We know plenty of things about Malaysia. If you're a Malaysian listener in the podcast, firstly, hi. Thank you for listening.
This is outstanding. Thank
secondly,
you.
Secondly, write into us. Tell us what your country does. It's really cool.
Yeah.
In fact, just for every country as well. Write into us and say,
we'd actually like to know more. We're making a lot of assumptions on things.
Yeah. Tell us an actual fact about
Australia. We'll tell you 100% truth about Australia because we can.
Yeah.
Right now, we're just having a guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really cool that we've got an international audience. I would love to hear about your country, especially the smaller countries that we know less about. Malaysia is not a small country, but we don't know much about it. So write into us. Tell us what it does. If you're from a random country, if you're a listener from Zimbabwe, what is Zimbabwe about? What's the deal there?
It starts with Z.
I've never been. It's very cool name. Zimbabwe is a cool country name. It does.
Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Mm.
Zimbabwe.
Anyway, that's about all I have got.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I need a tissue. God damn.
Yeah.
My hay fever. Fuck.
Yeah.
That's one of the other big killers here in Australia. Not the animals, not the things, the trees.
Yep, they'll kill you.
They'll fall on you, they'll be big, and then they'll give you hay fever. So you sneeze and snot for majority of the year.
A lot of people were freaked out by the California wildfires. This is a little fun little story to end the podcast on.
All right, while you talk about that, I'm going to grab some tissues.
All right,
cool. There's one just there. I'll listen to you.
With the California wildfires, a lot of people were all freaked out by them. They're like, why is it just happening in California? What's the deal? And the actual deal is...
Yep.
Australia, being the mad lads that we are, we're like, you guys need some trees. You want us to sell you some trees? You want a really good tree for exports?
No way.
Eucalyptus.
You're telling me the Californian wildfires was because they used Australian trees?
It was our fault, yeah.
Did they want a bushfire? Because
eucalyptus trees are almost entirely made of eucalyptus
oil. They're a bomb.
They're little planted bombs. Yeah, they just stand around and they catch on fire. And that's why our bushfires are so awful. That's why our bushfire season was so awful.
Yeah.
You get the tiniest little bit of global warming and you have a hot summer.
Gone.
Every tree goes up in flames, right?
It's just a huge candle.
And that's why we had the biggest wildfires in human history. And that's exactly what happened in California.
Did they not read the sticker that said bushfire approved?
Exactly.
Was that not on the crate?
We were like, listen, we need some money. You guys need some trees. So, yo, what's up? Eucalyptus trees? Classic Australian, right?
You want to get a tree that's, well, all trees are flammable, but these ones are extra flammable.
Extra flammable.
We have, those little hazard warnings you get on deodorant cans and stuff like that? Mm. Yeah, we have those on the trees.
On all of them?
Yeah, because you go there with an open match, we're fucked.
There goes the forest.
There goes our forest. There goes bloody Victoria.
Yeah.
Poor Victoria. It's all gone.
You could just waltz on down to Victoria in the middle of summer and just be like, hey, Victorians, and just open the line up. And the whole thing goes up in flames.
It's happened twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Extreme tragedies. Please don't do it. You're a dickhead if you do.
Yeah, if you live one of the Australian fires, you cannot listen to our podcast. We do get not like you. And you can quote me on that.
Yeah, you can get.
If you're an arsonist.
If you're an arsonist. It's such a dangerous game to play in Australia.
Mm. Anyway, even without the insulation of that really, really hot booth, it is very slowly warming up in here without a fan on. So let's leave it there. Do the outro.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb.
That's Jeff Swampy.
Listen to it whenever you
hear
can.
More of him. I'm sure he's got plenty of podcasts you can find. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's something you
can
do.
No,
I'm sure that just Jeff's around.
Yeah,
you can see him on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he's in TikTok.
That's cool, bloke.
TikTok.
Yeah, more TikTok.
Yeah, you can see him around.
Yeah.